Hello, everybody. It is the Locked On Big 12 Roundtable. It is a Wednesday evening as we are doing this right now. I am Josh Neighbors, the host of Locked On Big 12. To my right is Jacob Hatch. He is the host of Locked On Cougars. Below him, it is John Williams, the host of Locked On Sooners, who will be the target of much of conversation tonight. And then to his left, who should be the target of more conversation, but has been overshadowed on multiple occasions by her counterpart to the right, it is Linda Godfrey. Actually, for the better, to be honest. Linda Godfrey,
yeah, I'm fine
Locked
with
On.
It. I'm fine.
Yeah. Linda Godfrey of Locked On, folks. A whole lot to get to. Things burning to the ground or not, depending on who you are in Soonerland. Before we get to that, our show tonight is brought to you by NetSuite from Oracle. So check that out if you're running a small business. 28,000 small businesses have switched over to NetSuite by Oracle, and yours can too. All right, a whole lot to get to. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so this is the meeting of the Big 12 minds. Actually, first thing we should say is our friend Stephen Simcox is not here tonight, dealing with some family, some personal stuff, so please keep him in your thoughts, your prayers, whatever else you do. But just think about him right now. He cannot be with us tonight, so he's doing some personal stuff. We're thinking of our friend Steven right now. So, and I'm we're missing him because I'm sure he'd love to talk to John about what's happened in Oklahoma land over the last week or so, and really the last month and a half. And this is where, so we just had the college football playoff, and Alabama gets by Cincinnati pretty easily. Georgia curb stomps Michigan. But like, I was thinking about this, and the Big 12 is like the really good example. Beginning of the season, it was like, man, it's going to be Iowa State. It's going to be Oklahoma, the Big 12 title game. And you look at Oklahoma, you just take them as the test case. They lost their coach. They lost their Heisman favorite quarterback. They lost the guy who backed him up and came in. They're going to lose the guy who's backed him up and came in and was amazing. And they were a preseason favorite to go to that college football playoff. Didn't even make the Big 12 title game. A team that won two games in Baylor ends the previous season ends up being the Big 12 champion this season. Like, there is parity. If you don't just watch the top four, there is parity for all of you out there. But, John, really busy week for everything that's happening. And here's the one thing that I've seen debated on Twitter. And it's frustrating to see people who are the complete fan being like, you know what? I'll take Dylan Gabriel. He's more proven. He's a good leader. Also, I'll take BV over Lincoln Riley any day. He's committed. Like, what's your response to the fans who are like, we're better off with the guys we have now than we were before?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the long term, I think it's going to be a good situation for Oklahoma. Are they better off right now? It's hard for me to argue that. Not just simply because of the coaching change, but they lost six defensive starters. One's going to Stanford, transferring as a grad transfer. Five are going to the NFL. Probably all five are going to get drafted. You're losing two offensive linemen. Like you mentioned, you lost both your quarterbacks. It's a season of upheaval. At the same time, you know, Brent Venables has been kind of eyeballed for a head coaching job for a very, very long time. And so this is just kind of the culmination of all of his work. And so I think there is a lot of optimism because of what he's done as a defensive coordinator, what he's done as a recruiter in helping Clemson build two national championship teams. Are they better off now? I can't argue that. I can't say that they are better off. I will say I like the direction that they're heading, and I'm very optimistic for the future because of what they've got in place. No, I don't think Dylan Gabriel is a better quarterback than Caleb Williams. I do think he's a capable quarterback, and I do think that he's going to be very good for Oklahoma, especially if they're able to hold on to Marvin Mims at wide receiver, Jahlil Farouk as well. I think they'll be in really good shape. Dylan Gabriel averaged more than 300 yards passing for his career. That's pretty good. That's pretty salty. The American Athletic Conference, it's underrated as a conference, I believe. And so I feel like he's a good quarterback. Nobody's going to confuse him for Caleb Williams. But I think he's got the right attitude. He's got a little bit of that moxie, but kind of not to the same level that was Spencer Rattler. But it's kind of like that, yeah, we're going to go and we're going to compete and we're going to contend. So I think they're in good shape. And then there's that small, minute chance that, you know, Caleb Williams comes back, although I don't believe that's going to be the case. And so, yes, they've got a lot of work to do this offseason to retool their program. And a lot of that's going to start on the defensive side of the football. I think offensively, I think they'll still be really, really good. But as it's been for years with Oklahoma, can they contend if their defense is not better than average, if it's not a top 30 defense?
Right. That, yeah, it's a big question. And well, it's hard to at the top level. I mean, we've seen it time and time again. The Caleb Williams situation is really interesting. So the thought that popped into my mind this week when I saw Caleb Williams transferring, and then I saw the statement from the athletic director slash coach. It was interesting because their interim coach, Bob Stoops, program legend, had said previously, this program is greater than one person. I was very surprised to then see the athletic director and the coach make a statement about one person who is transferring. So sorry, Linda, and sorry, Jake. I just want to get, John, your response to somebody who would say that to you, like, okay, it's about one person. It's not about one person, but I've never seen an athletic director and a coach make a statement about one player in a situation that didn't involve, you know, somebody being dismissed from a team or some outstanding situation like that.
Yeah, the more I read that statement, the more I kind of thought about it, the more I thought it was odd to throw that in there as well. I mean, this is something that everybody's been talking about for the last month since Riley just up and left for USC. And so I feel like everybody could have just implied that the program is more than just one person. But they've also emphasized over the last month that the program is about the players, and he's your best player, arguably. I'm Nick Bonito, to my mind, my money, he was the best player, but he's also gone to the NFL draft. But if the program's about the players, you don't necessarily want to talk about the leader and the best player on your team as if, like, you just don't want to kind of fuse those comments together, if that makes sense. And I know Linda's got comments on this, it's fine, but it just seemed like an odd PR strategy, in my opinion. I understand that they want to exude strength and confidence moving forward. At the same time, what it really reads to me is they see him leaving. As much as they're putting in the upper half of that statement, like, we're going to continue to be in discussions with him and his family, we're going to pursue him on every front, that second half of the statement just makes me believe they think he's leaving. Hence the Dylan Gabriel transfer to Oklahoma as well.
Yeah, right. Rather immediately too, which is the part. All right. So in the words of Toby Rowland, the play man of the Sooners on radio, I'm going to unhitch the wagons and I'm going to let the metaphorical pony run around. It is Linda Godfrey. So Linda, are you mad? Because this is two situations now where Oklahoma stuff has stole your thunder. So they win Bedlam, right? And the conversation the next Monday is about Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma. Then they have the biggest win in program history, according to their head coach, Mike Gundy, who's been there long enough to know, and an awesome comeback win in the year 6 game against Notre Dame. And then that gets overshadowed by the news on Monday that Caleb Williams is transferring and Dylan Gabriel is coming in. So how do you feel about this entire situation and how it's played out right now?
Well, personally, I'm not that worried about it. Like, at the same time that I'm not proud of it, but mocking Oklahoma fans and what's happening there. I'm sorry, but when you get beat that many times, like, there's some petty, I'm not proud of it, like I said. But yeah,
it's well
deserved. I've spent some time laughing at Oklahoma and all that they've gone through. And when they talk about, you know, we're going to be fine. The bar was like on the floor, dude. Your head coach is gone. Both your quarterbacks, like, it was not a hard bar to clear to, like, be excited about the future. And as somebody who in seasons a lot, like, next year, man. So, like, I get that mentality. I'm not worried about it. Oklahoma fans, like, my Twitter page is still all celebrating the way that Oklahoma State finished the season. So right. I'm not terribly worried about it. OU fans see us chirping at them because we're chirping directly at them. They don't see us celebrating the Fiesta Bowl win and Colin Oliver setting a freshman record for sacks on Oklahoma State and all the things that we've done this year. So I get it. I get that that's all they see, but I'm not going to not talk about it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. I'll be honest. So, like, and John, I'm sure you acknowledge this. Like, there is a meltdown happening, but also because here's the thing. So when Oklahoma moved to the SEC, a lot of people I've worked with said, like, you know, this is business. And look, Oklahoma fans should be excited about the move to the Southeastern Conference because It's new matchups. It's exciting places. It's not Manhattan, Kansas. It's not Ames, Iowa. You know, it's new fun places. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's Columbia, Missouri, which is great. Well, they've been there before, but it's a great college town. You know, it's Gainesville, Florida. It's Columbia, South Carolina. You know, it's Oxford, Mississippi. New places, new territories, fun places to travel to. By the same token, though, their coach did the same thing to them that their team did, their school did to the entire conference. So that is why there is a bit of laughing right now at them being like, look, we don't, that's why nobody's saying we feel bad for you.
Well, I think the thing that people are most upset about is that it's pretty clear that Lincoln Riley was working on this throughout the season. And he wasn't really focused on the 2021 college football season while he had an undefeated team heading into the final weeks of the season. I think that's where a lot of people really are rubbed wrong by how this all went down. I mean, the LA Times was the first to report that he was in, that his representation was in talks with USC not long after Clay Helton was fired. So it's like, I feel like a lot of people have a reason to be upset because it was a wasted season with one of their most talented rosters in Lincoln Riley's era. And it just went down the drain. Is it business? Absolutely. You know, I think most people that I'm seeing are responding to Caleb Williams' entrance into the transfer portal with the idea that, hey, this is just part of what college football is like now. And I do credit Joe Castiglione and Brent Venables in their joint statement saying it's well within Caleb's right to explore his options in the transfer portal, especially given the fact that the guy that he committed to play for is no longer there. So like that part of it, I think for the most part, you got the small minority of Oklahoma Sooners fans that are just like, ah, screw the kid, or this is terrible for football or whatever. But most people, I feel like, understand that this is what football is now and that, you know what, kids are going to do this. They're going to transfer. And Caleb Williams, he has the right to go out and explore options. And that is part of the business of it. The Lincoln Riley thing, that's just a whole different thing. I mean, the Lincoln Riley situation has created a cascading effect that has, like, I mean, it's unearthed what Oklahoma, I mean, it's just shaken the foundation of Oklahoma. Now, Bob Stoops kind of helped, like, rebuild the confidence, Brent Venables as well. Things are, you know, the confidence is building back up. But, I mean, we're still seeing the effects of what Lincoln Riley's decision
had on Oklahoma. But being torn down simultaneously as all these guys begin to leave, too. It's a weird effect.
Well, for sure.
Jake, as somebody who is a, you know, nonpartisan observer, you are... kind of looking at this from afar. What is your read on the situation? Like how all of this has transpired and just kind of from a national perspective, like what do you think the big narrative is coming out of this?
Well, see, and the thing about this is I'm with John. This is college football is these days. Dylan Gabriel, the day he's supposed to enroll in classes at UCLA, announces he's going to Oklahoma after 3 weeks of being committed to the Bruins. Okay, you can't tell me there's not free agency in this sport. It's
what it is. 100%.
It's what it is. So I just sit back and watch it. BYU, just for an example, just had their backup quarterback who's actually won some big games for him, Baylor Romney. He entered the transfer portal. He's looking at his options. He may just ultimately decide to stop playing football because he's getting a little bit older and he's trying to figure out what to do with his life. But I think anymore, these young men, they deserve the opportunity to go find an opportunity for themselves. Because as you mentioned, Lincoln Riley, we all know that he was talking with USC for multiple weeks in a row. We have it on very good authority that out at University of Oregon, Mario Cristobal, he was talking to Miami for what? Better half of the season to set up his move down to South Beach? Yeah, if these coaches are going to do this, give the kids their opportunity because they deserve it right along with the coaches.
All right, I'm going to follow up with that in just 1 second. Quick word from our friends from NetSuite by Oracle. If you run a small business and you're not using NetSuite right now, you're not doing it right. Over 28,000 businesses have already switched to NetSuite. The new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked. That's netsuite.com/LOCKED. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth with visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. Head to netsuite.com/locked for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. Once again, netsuite.com/locked. So, Jake, I'm kind of going to follow up on this like with you. That's the big story, right? There's not a whole lot of nationally, I think, like Oklahoma has a problem. A whole lot of it is like which is sad. It's like, this is a problem. The kids are moving around. But I think the good thing is a lot of people cover the sport like we do are saying, look, why aren't we talking about Brian Kelly over and over again, leaving a team that had a chance to go to the playoff? They were number five. They're number five. All they needed was, you know, like, look, if Cincinnati had slipped up, if Michigan had slipped up, you know, in one of those situations, if Alabama had not beaten Georgia, you know, there were three results that had to go that way to basically shut everybody else out. And Baylor would have had to climb Notre Dame in that situation to go there. And Brian Kelly said, I don't care. I'm leaving. I'm going to LSU, which I actually don't fault him for. But nobody else, well, no, nobody else. But, like, we're not hammering this home. It's just people who are usually older people who are uncomfortable with the 18 to 22-year-old kids now controlling the narrative, controlling what's happening in college football. That, to me, is what's happening. Do you agree?
Yeah, there's a power dynamic. There's a power shift that's happened. The players have the power now. And the thing about Brian Kelly, he's in a recruit's home the night he flies back to South Bend, signs a contract midair while he's flying back to South Bend that he's going to, There are a bunch of old heads who are out there saying, well, there needs to be more loyalty in this sport. Guess what? There hasn't been loyalty the entire time this sport has existed. It just so happens that the players for many, many years have been picked on, have been taken advantage of. And guess what? Now they have some power and people don't like it. I'm glad the kids have some power, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember Dabo Sweeney said he's going to quit when he's like, if the kids are going to get paid, whatever.
Yeah. You're going to give up that $9 million? Come on, buddy.
No.
Well, I think some of the reason that we're not seeing Brian Kelly killed or Mario Cristobal killed or Lincoln Riley even killed by the national media is look at the places they ended up. So you got one going to LSU, SEC country, ESPN has got a big they've got a big stake in the SEC.
Yeah.
You got Mario Cristobal going from Oregon to Miami, a much bigger media market. You got Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma to USC, a much bigger media market. I've seen Lincoln Riley on ESPN more in the last month than I think I ever saw him on ESPN in his time in Norman. So like there definitely is a stake in this from the media's perspective. They want these big time coaches in these big time media markets or these big time programs, because it helps build their stake and helps build their kind of infrastructure for presenting college football to the fans. And I think that's where it is. And I totally agree with Jake. Like it's about time the players have some power in this. I feel like there needs to be something done though, to create a little bit more balance in all of this.
Yeah.
On both sides of things,
the
player side.
I think my problem about it is this. So I work on a bunch of radio shows with a variety of hosts, cover of college football. There is so much conversation about opting out, and that's so much focus. And it's a lot of, why wouldn't you want to finish the season with your team? Dude, what about the coaches who have told you, who lied to these kids time and time? Who are the liars here? Who are the ones that are getting shafted? It's the players. Why should any player show any loyalty to any coach at all when they could bolt at any time? All right. Like Lincoln Riley, you know, here's the thing. I'm not even mad at him. I'm actually not mad. I don't think anybody should be mad. I think people should stop getting angry about any of these situations. You can be fine. You can be mad at him. But here's the thing is that, look, all this stuff is all of it's transactional. You know who UCLA fans are mad at right now? Oklahoma and Dylan Gabriel and pulling the rug out under them. They're mad at you. So you know what? It kind of all works out in the wash. You know what I mean? Like, that's how people – Clemson fans might be bad at Brent Venables, because you know who was recruiting for Clemson while all the rumors were swirling? Brent Venables was also recruiting for Clemson. Like, this is all transactional, people. Stop acting like it's not. Like, just because you ignore it and be like, college football is pure. It's what I want it to be. It's potential third-round picks playing in the Sun Bowl. That's what it is.
All right.
For my enjoyment. Yeah, like, what the hell are we doing? I'm sorry. Like, you guys, it's not this pure sport where a bunch of high shoulder pad linebackers are like, yes, team, Sooners, come on. It's not what this is anymore. It's never been that before. Like, sure, a few players say that it is, but it's not what this is. It's always, it's become more transactional than it was in the past. But like, that's what all sports are. And look at the college football playoff contract. It is a $400 to $500 million contract that the players see $0 of. Like, directly into their pockets, $0 of. So when NIL comes up and these kids can now say, all right, plus NIL plus NFL draft, I have varieties of ways to look out for my own interests. Like, they should not apologize for any of this. Nobody should be like, you know what, Matt Corral is a great for Matt Corral. I love it. The fact he finished the season with his teammates.
I didn't mute that game. I had to mute that game. But they could
what
not...
in the hell are we doing there? Somebody had to get in that kid's ear. And did you guys hear the broadcast? It was
awful.
Plan A was to praise Matt Corral, and plan B when he got hurt was like, oh, what do we do now?
He was always going to play. He was always going to play. He's a team player.
They had nothing to say after he got hurt.
It was
embarrassing. And it's like, why? You know what somebody should have said? You know what? It's great Matt Corral was out here, but he is an aggressive player who has been injured multiple times this season. You know, maybe somebody could have looked out for his interest and said, hey, maybe this isn't the best spot. Because you know what player did need to play out of all the games? Matt Corral did not need to play that bowl game. That was the one guy with the style of play, with his injury history, and his unique draft position did not need to play, and he did. Good for him, but we can't be like, this is what it's about. And then when the injury happens, we're like, well, good for him being out here. It drives me crazy. All of this stuff is tied together. I know it's kind of a long rant where I hit multiple things, but it's all tied together right now, the way we're talking about it. So, Linda, I'll let you – oh, go ahead, Jake. Go ahead.
I just want to interject one thing. If you want to know the answer to anything going on in anything, follow the almighty dollar. Just find out who's benefiting from it, and you'll know exactly what their take is going to be, because guess what? When it impacts their bottom line and their pocketbook, guess what? They've got a stake.
Right. It's why we want Matt Corral to play. You know why? Because more people are going to watch the game. It's a more valuable Matt Corral watch. You know, pay him if you want to play the game. Linda, go ahead. Yeah, I need to get some, you had some thoughts in this regard.
Well, I just think in terms of, like, we talk about, all of us are very pro players should get to make their own decisions about what they do with their future. But I think all the people that are aggressively against it are much louder than we are. Like, people with bad opinions are always louder. And most of them have, like, jobs in booths talking to the entire nation. So I'm just saying, like, I think if you look in, like Twitter replies, like John was saying, OU fans are, for the most part, very much, you know, do what's right for you. It's just the ones that aren't are so much louder. And then we give them attention by being like, don't be like that. And then it just, like, grows.
Vicious cycle.
Yeah, you gotta try to, like, ignore those fans, you know?
Yeah, well, it doesn't help when College Game Day basically supports that line of thinking, you know?
Right,
when
Kirk exactly.
Horrific.
Yeah, it was really, it was really like probably the worst thing that happened in college football this season. Like, it really was, because you have the number one sports station in the country, worldwide, ESPN is just the brand. You got, honestly, arguably the number one color analyst, and, you know,
I would argue he's the best color analyst in all of football, like pro or college.
That's a reasonable argument to make. Sitting out there saying that this is all bad for college football, that the transfer portal, the bowl opt-outs, like, and telling kids that they don't love the game, like, that's terrible for college football.
Yeah,
and it just all it does is speak to the agenda that ESPN has, and it's just about making money. I mean, does Kirk Herbstreit really believe some of that stuff? I can totally see it. You know, this is a guy that played 20, 30 years ago. Like, he's part of that older guard. But I think that was just really, really bad. It was just a bad, bad look for the future of college football to have your number one voice that promotes your sport to go out there and basically rip, you know, thousands of kids.
Well, and you know it's bad when they sent him on Pardon My Take, you know, to do a little, let's make him more likable apology. Look, I love Kirk Herbstreit. I think he's really, really smart. The idea that, like, kids don't love football as much as they used to is crazy to me. Just things have changed.
Yeah.
They always change. And everything in life, I don't mean this to be like a big life, but, like, what does not change?
Yep.
Like, at my job the other day, they've put in new, to replace boards, they've put in iPads. All right? Do the 24-year-old, 26-year-olds, go back to our old boards. Yeah, you know what? Tough shit. It's changed. That's how all of life works, man. There's change. And so, look, when Kirk played, there was no $500 million television contract for the CFP, was there? No, there was no people who were like, you know what? This is kind of uncomfortable. It's kind of gross how much money is being made off these players' backs. Maybe they should get some of it. And so now the kids are like, you know what? I'm trying to make squeeze every last ounce of money out of my football making career, because this is the one thing we know. We all like pro football too. It is not for long. Pro football, especially when you get to pro football, man. I mean, that is a quick, short, and sometimes brutal career. So now the avenues are open to, as a football player, to make as much money as possible. And let's be honest, most guys are probably out of football before, like, in their early 30s. So if you get a chance to make it now, man. Just make. And that's why when I hear people questioning, oh, how much the kids love football, you're going to question how much Kenny Pickett loves football? Seriously? Like, because he didn't play in the Peach Bowl? The guy came back to Pitt and won an ACC championship. I was at that game, man. He played his ass off. What does Kenny Pickett have to prove in a Peach Bowl against Michigan State? Like, does he love football less? Does anybody here think he loves football less?
No, and let me interject one thing on Kirk Herbstreit's part. He's got two sons that play college football right now, one at Clemson and one at Ohio State. I cannot believe he does not have a more nuanced take than what he went with. It was stunning to me. The fact
and the lack of apology, too. The clarification. It wasn't really an apology. It was more of a clarification.
It was just
also
weird.
Kirk would have so secured the bag in college. Like, you,
which we would not have blamed him. What, he's a handsome fella. He probably, I mean, I would put him on some posters. He's still a handsome guy.
Even he probably did. Let's be real. It was just under the table. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. I did not like, I love Desmond Howard too. I didn't like Desmond Howard agreeing with him. That one hurt.
No, like these guys, these former players, they should be the advocates for the current player. Like, they have the biggest voice. And yes, ESPN has a vested interest in all these guys playing, but these analysts, they are the advocate nationwide for college football, and they should be for the players, because that's the platform that they have. They worked hard for that platform. They have it now. And really, it's the players that provide the platform. If every single college football player decided, I'm done playing, guess what, Kirk? You don't got a job anymore. I mean, you can go get on Monday Night Football or whatever, but you're done on college game day. You're done calling college football games. And you look at, you know, guys that opted out of the 2020 season, like Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater. I think they're doing pretty well for themselves, having sat out a year of football.
The offensive a rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year, looking pretty good.
Yeah. So you might argue, like, hey, having a bit of a break from football might be a good thing for these players at times.
And I want to actually mention this. So Jake, I was working Pac-12 radio the other day for Sirius, and we had Jordan Witt on, the former quarterback. And this is an interesting point. He's like, you know, we're jealous, us former players, of the current Utah guys because they're in the Rose Bowl, but we're so pleased for the program is. And I wish that sentiment was shared for something like this, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, I would love to make money while I was there. I would love to make some NIL deals and get some free barbecue, or get some free meals if I was eating ramen or whatever while I was on campus. But I'm really glad the kids are now. I don't think we have enough of that. And I think you guys are all spot on with this point. Like,
the problem is Jordan Wynn, like us, he's kind of small time. Guys like Desmond Howard, Kirk Herbstreit, I don't know who else you want to go to. I got like Tim Brandon.
I would say my own colleagues, Dustin Dvorak and Danny Cannell, are a little bit guilty of it as well.
Sure. But they have the biggest voices out there in the sport. The problem is they seem to be on the wrong side, it feels like, of all of this.
Yeah, that's tough. Anybody, anything else before we close out in this? I know it started with Oklahoma and kind of morphed into something else, but I think this entire Oklahoma conversation, like kind of we talked about, it's been nationally pegged as Oklahoma's situation in 2021 is everything wrong with college football. And I think our opinion is kind of like, this is just reality of 2021, of where we are. Adapt.
I feel like the guy that I've seen like in Oklahoma spheres who had the best take on this was Rufus Alexander. And I just want to read his tweet to you. He's like, basically he said, Caleb's earned the right to do this. But the second tweet was the one that I liked the best. He said, there's a better way to do this, and greed by the NCAA has turned this into the wild, wild west. I hope the bidding for Caleb services come back at $10 million. I hope parents see that and start a bidding war for their kid. Get your popcorn ready. And that's the kind of advocacy you want from former players. Like, if this is going to be the system, then go secure the bag. Maybe we should have a conversation on this at some point about NIL and transfer portals and all that stuff. But I feel like there needs to be a little bit more like structure and organization to it.
Yeah.
So that a kid's not here one day, gone tomorrow kind of a thing.
If you'd like to call the NCAA, I'm sure their phone will go right to, it'll go right to, you know, the answering machine because they kick this can down the road. And look, that's the problem is a lot of the blame falls on the kids when the NCAA knew this was coming.
Yeah.
And they set some of these parameters. They set some of these, they said, look, we're going to like, do you know how much stuff Congress has to deal with? And state governments have to deal with. They're like, we're going to let the states decide NIL. You know who's like not jumping to be like, look, we got to put this front of the, like Idaho is not like, look, we got NIL. I know some of these states put some stuff forward, but honestly, like a lot of the legislations and bill stuff were just rushed.
Hey,
California's was thought out. Go ahead. Yeah.
Utah. I have talked to four state legislators here in this state. I have talked to four of them. I have asked every one of them point blank. Will there be a NIL legislation, whatever you want to call it, a bill forth to the Utah State Legislature? All four of them, no, there is nothing pending, and we don't plan on putting anything forward. So,
which is kind of crazy to me because the Texas legislature will spend a session on Texas moving to the SEC and Texas A&M. Oklahoma will spend time trying to rename 3 inches of highway after Lincoln Riley.
This is the problem, though. Is this not the problem that every state has different priorities?
Yes.
So therefore, the playing field is also like, if a state doesn't have an NIL bill, is there anything stopping the kids from getting NIL deals? Like,
have you seen what BYU's been doing? Come on, they've got
which is good.
They have three team-wide deals. They have Built Bar currently. They have one called the Savory Restaurant Fund, which they run restaurants here in the state of Utah. These guys are eating for free at these local restaurants all the time. It's awesome in that respect for it. But the thing, each state legislature is different. The state of Utah, the only way outside of their normal legislative period, which is actually coming up at the end of this month, the only way for them to get back together to reconvene is for the governor to call them into session. Every state has its own quirks. That's Utah has got it. They have one legislative session that's set apart every year. Beyond that, the governor has to call for a special legislative session. And I tell you this much, they aren't calling that to get an NIL deal done.
No. And look, Florida rushed one through, I'm pretty sure, pretty quickly. Some other states did too. But it's like, you know, it's one of those things where the NCAA being like, we're going to let states and state governments run this is like one of the dumbest, things.
Yeah, I wouldn't let Oklahoma state government run like a child's birthday party, bro. Like, no.
I mean, they heard arguments about like why they should name 3 inches of highway.
I was like, I'm not from here.
Embarrassing.
Like, I wasn't born here. I'm just stuck here.
As a guy who lives on the other side of the Colorado, the Rockies here, the fact that you guys named 3 inches of highway for Lincoln Riley just made my day. That's all I'm going to say.
Me too. It just says, which like I endorse the pettiness, but like as long as we acknowledge what it is and like what it signifies, right? Yeah. It's like you're gonna let these guys decide the NIL laws for this sport. Right. We're gonna let that. Right. That's what we're gonna do.
And these are the guys that are charged with running our schools and getting our healthcare system in better shape. And
we're not gonna focus on pencils in public schools. We got to talk about the Lincoln Riley Highway,
the tribes here in the state of Oklahoma, and failing at that as well. But this is not Locked On Politics, Oklahoma.
So, well, forget the quality of the highways. We got to talk about what it's named. That we got to make sure we name 3 inches. All right. Well, quick word from our sponsors here. Then we have a second episode coming about college football playoff expansion. I've got a formula. It's going to work. It's going to be perfect. First, quick word from our sponsors. Today's show is brought to you all by GetUpside. It is a new app that is going to help you all save money on gas. Listeners can make up to 25 cents off for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's 50 cents per gallon cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code SCORE. Once again, that's promo code SCORE. All right. That'll do it for the first episode of our get together here. Everybody needs to give their, actually, you know what? We'll just end the episode. And we'll do the reads and whatever at the end of the next one. So, thank you for listening. That's John Williams. Below to my right, diagonal. There you go. Above him, it is Jake Hatch. Linda Godfrey went to get her charger. We'll be back with the second episode. Check out our playoff expansion special coming up.